from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I know you've mentioned in the past that one of Drake May's positives is that he can make plays by himself and overcome some things around him. I was wondering, would the offensive line ever be an impediment to maybe considering him as the starter, or maybe, you know, not giving him as much time if you don't trust the line?
Yeah, for me, we always talk about competition, and that's at all spots. So even if Drake, you know, beats out Jacoby, I mean, he earned that role. And we don't really take that into consideration when he's ready to go. And if he's better than Jacoby, then he'll play in his game.
Good morning, and thank you for starting your Sunday with KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937, that's Gerard Mayo, kind of going, John, opening that door for Drake May, QB1?
Yeah, KJ, unless I missed it, he said when Drake is better than Jacoby, he'll play, not if Drake is better than, you know, just a little slip of the tongue there, as though it's expected. And look, I think, you know, we've talked about this since Drake May was drafted. Eventually, he's going to play. It feels like at least a lot of people in around here, but maybe even within the organization, have upped that timeline a little bit over the past week or so.
Well, it's interesting because I would say this. Who would be QB1? He would be QB2. QB3, I think that's just kind of an afterthought. But could you not argue that Drake May is QB1, Jacoby Brissett QB2, but Jacoby Brissett is the opening day starter still?
Yeah, and I'm at a point now where I still have Drake May as QB2, but earlier in the offseason and even earlier in training camp, I thought to myself, hey, look at week 9 or, you know, week 15, because the Patriots have that week 14 bye, come off it, maybe play week 15. I think they have Arizona after that. Week 9, kind of that middle of the year. Now, I'm kind of at the point where, well, maybe look at week 5, 6, or 7 and kind of see where he's at, because I think May has progressed. Brissett also didn't play well the other night. I still think Brissett's more consistent and can do just a little bit more at the NFL level right now, but it feels like May's catching up. And I think the other big piece of this, and we can really dive into this as the show goes on, is the infrastructure around Brissett and May. It kind of puts May in a tough spot if he comes out there and he's the week one starter.
Yeah, well, I agree, because here's the thing. I think when Jacoby Brissett throws that interception in the end zone, I think the conversation immediately changed. Like, it's like, okay, it has to be considered that Drake May is your week one starter. But my concern is, and I think this is what you're also getting to, is if you put Drake May out there, it's one of those situations where you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, if he's out there and he struggles, you can't say, okay, we're going to pull you. You sit for 3 or 4 weeks, and now you're ready. I think you have to go all in once you put him out there. That's why I think Jacoby Brissett is still going to be the week one starter. You say maybe week five or six. I might even say that you might see Drake May as early as week three, depending on how things play out, if things still kind of stay the same. The other part of it is, and we've seen this happen in the NFL over time, is when career backups become that starting guy for a team that's in transition, you realize that you may still have a backup. Nobody said that Jacoby Brissett was going to go out there and win 12 games. That's not the idea at all. But when you start to say, okay, in the locker room, if the players feel like the young guy gives them the best chance to win, you've heard me say this on our shows over the last couple of years, John, well, over the last year, is that players don't have like, yeah, I got 10 more years to play. Like, this could be my last series of my career. I want to know that the team is putting the best foot forward, giving us a chance to win. And this Washington game is going to be fascinating because you would think at this point, I give May as many snaps as you potentially need, really get him out there with the first team, but knowing that he won't be starting in first week, now you almost have to say, wow, in this final game, you may have to go May and Brissett to make a decision if you are going to go with May in week one.
Yeah, and normally a guy like Brissett, you would look at the third preseason game and say, all right, he doesn't need to play right in that game. But now, especially, and it's not just that one interception, it's he had another throw that could have been picked, and it's a newer.
It's been a bad preseason.
And also, too, like, and I think in camp they've been close. I think Brissett's been a little bit more consistent, but they've been close. But also, I know Brissett played in New England before, and I know he played for Alex Van Pelt before, but it's their first time together here in New England. There's a lot of new pieces around Brissett. You have to get the offense at least to the point where they can put some positive plays and maybe a drive together against Washington so they can use that as a springboard, because after the Washington game, there's still 2 full weeks before week one. Like, that's a lot of time off in between meaningful snaps. So I think you want Brissett out there for a series, but May is probably going to play, let's say Brissett plays a series, he's probably going to play the rest of the first half, maybe into the second half as well, because I think Zappe and Milton are kind of, you know, they're by the wayside at this. One of them will be around, maybe both of them will be around, but it's about May and Brissett now. And I think, look, does May have a chance to do something in that third preseason game that maybe makes them want to start him week one? It's possible, I'll give you that, but I just think the better move would be to get Brissett ready at least for the first month or so and then look towards May after that.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're talking Patriots, plus still to come, just the Jag. We look at some of the players, not only on the Patriots squad, if they're just a Jag, but around the NFL, because I watched quite a few of those games yesterday. That Steelers game, boy, I really feel for Mike Tomlin. What happens when you have two bad people as your quarterback? But the quarterback situation here has become fascinating because there's a part, and here's the funny thing, and we've said this, clearly Drake May is a better quarterback than Mac Jones coming in, right? Better skill set, bigger body, more flexible. You saw these different things, but I think the organization, and I think this is why I agree with you that Drake May isn't going to be the week one starter, is that the organization wants to protect this next big asset. I don't think they want to put Drake May in a situation. Now, granted, I would argue, like, why not do it on the road at Cincinnati, put him in the fire already? But I just think they want to protect and not find themselves in a situation where, hey, this person may have some physical gifts, but suddenly they're overwhelmed. And that's the thing you mentioned, like, there's still 2 weeks after that last preseason. This is a quarterback situation where you really need to see these guys in live action to get an idea of what they're going to do in live action. That's what makes it so weird. Like, that 2 weeks after the Washington game, we're not really going to know if one has gotten better than the other outside of them being in shorts and pads. Then, you know, okay, hey, this week is the final week, there's a rest, and then you go to the start, and then you get to the start of the season. I think that's something different. So I think even with 2 weeks after the final preseason game, doesn't really bode well for finding out who is going to be the quarterback on opening day.
And I think with playing Drake May, there's a twofold thing here, which every team goes through, but I think it's especially pronounced with the Patriots right now. Part one is May's development itself. And one thing, like you mentioned Mac Jones a few years ago and how he started, I think what's interesting so far is, like, Mac Jones came in at least relatively ready to play and run an NFL offense, but it felt like Mac Jones over 3 years, he never got better at anything. Like never, like no individual skill. And I understand that the team was bad, but I'm saying it felt like no individual skill of Mac's got better. Whereas May, it feels like through training camp, there's been things he's been getting better at, right? He's been getting better at processing things a little bit faster. His, you know, everybody nitpicked his form coming out and his shoulder drop and all that. It's not perfect yet, but it feels like it's getting better, right?
You got more of a football player than a football creation.
So I think part one is for that to continue, right? Like he fumbled a snap in the preseason game the other night against Philly. He's also fumbled some snaps during training camp, right? Like that needs to improve, right? Running out of empty formations and setting protections out of that needs to continue to improve. Like I said, we're seeing signs that like he is getting better, which is good. But the other huge piece of this, KJ, and I might even argue it's a bigger piece than May's individual development, look at what's around him offensively, right? You have a play caller in Alex Van Pelt, who the last time he was a full-time play caller was 2009, so 15 years ago, and it's only the second time he's ever done it. You have a left tackle who you don't have any confidence in. You don't even really fully know who that left tackle is going to be. You have a right tackle that's been inconsistent the entire time. You have a receiving core where your best receiver in Kendrick Bourne is still injured. And yes, you have some nice pieces there, but DeMario Douglas is in his second year. Polk's a rookie, excuse me. So there's...
Right. Butte is showing that maybe he deserves to be here.
But even he's in his second year, and he had that off-the-field stuff.
There are a lot of young guys on this team.
But that's the thing. There's so much uncertainty there that's why I lean by, you know, week six, week seven, week eight, maybe that offensive line has kind of stabilized. Alex Van Pelt is kind of in a little bit of a groove, if you will. Maybe Jalen Polk is playing more and more and used to being an NFL receiver. And then that's a much better situation to put May into instead of – and you just – like you mentioned Cincinnati, KJ. You look at the first 4 weeks. That's a Cincinnati defense with a good pass rush. You have San Francisco and the Jets, which two of probably the top three defensive lines in the NFL, in the Jets and San Francisco, in the first 4 weeks. Both of those games on the road. I don't think that's a good situation to put any rookie in, but especially when you have all this other uncertainty about it. I mean, if the Patriots had the Detroit Lions offensive line, maybe you could talk me into playing May week one or two, but they don't. And that has to factor in. You can't, like, it doesn't help Drake May's development if his left tackle and his right tackle get blown by eight times a game and he just starts getting smoked back there.
So
that doesn't help him.
So the other side of that coin, John, I guess is, and you would ask, well, when does it ever get better for a rookie? Like, you can never put them in the perfect circumstance, because if it was a perfect circumstance, you wouldn't have only won four games the year before. So, you know, we've talked about this. What happens if Jacoby Brissett under this same bad line? Because the mobility is not there that May has, right? Like, you would say that May has a better ability to move his shoulders and his feet right now to avoid getting sacked or taking losses than probably Brissett does right now. So, look, I'm one who agrees, and I will still hold on to it just because I've said it, is that Drake May needs to kind of hang out for a little bit before he gets in there. But let's call it what it is. If it starts looking really, really bad, is this really about like, well, you know, we got to protect May when the team is not being protected by just getting absolutely hammered and devastated out there, that offensive line? Like, at least you'd want somebody to move. That's why I'd kind of introduced, like, is this one of the reasons why you might keep Joe Milton around if you know that you've just been getting absolutely hammered and towards the end of games, if the game is out of reach, you know, you like stick Milton in there just to prevent, you know, two quarterbacks from going down in 1 week and then literally having to go with Joe Milton. So, yes, the offensive line is so bad. There are a couple of free agents out there. I know Elliot Wolf's got a press conference today at 10:20. I wonder if that's going to be addressed. Now we've seen that Stephon Gilmore has been picked up by Minnesota. So now some of these higher ticket free agents are starting to be picked up for these teams. Is that still going to happen? Like, you've got it. Like, you've got to go get at least a left tackle. I don't care how much they were paid. They're probably better than what's on the roster right now that's free agent. Like Qatari, who used to be with Green Bay. I don't
Donovan
care if
Donovan Smith even. Like, right, I can't imagine Donovan Smith coming in here and not being better than Vidarian Love. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just
Well, the thing about it, like, how long has this been a problem and not been addressed? Like, if you know that you've got a rookie quarterback and an aging veteran who hasn't looked great, who hasn't looked sound in the preseason. I think it would be something different if Jacoby Brissett looks sound in the different drives that he's had in the preseason, where you're saying, okay, with this bad offensive line, he would still be able to get to his checkdowns or be able to establish some type of passing game that was quick and moving, let the receivers get out and, you know, get the ball in their hands and let them do their thing. You haven't seen that. So you're like, okay, so that's just what you're going to roll with going into the season. It's like, okay, if you're trying to protect Drake May, how long before Drake May gets into the game? Because Brissett can't be protected.
Yeah, and we had this conversation, I think, KJ, was either last week or the week before. And, of course, folks, if you missed any of it, you can hear it on WEEI.com or the Odyssey app. Of course,
it's free.
It is. It shouldn't be free, but it is.
It shouldn't be. You're damn right.
But we had this conversation about, hey, what do you do if, you know, Brissett gets hurt? And I had the opinion then that maybe it's Bailey Zappe.
You're right.
And Drake May's future is tied to Bailey Zappe. And depending on May's development could depend on how long Zappe's here. And I think really what we've seen over the past week, because the joint practice was not good for the Patriots offense, especially that offensive line. May fought through it. He didn't really do anything of note because the offensive line was so bad. What we saw in the preseason game, though, against the Eagles, if we see something like that again, say, against Washington, then I think that's enough for me to say, okay, you can move on from Bailey Zappe. May can be the guy to come in off the bench if Brissett gets hurt, even if he just hands the ball off or it's easy short passes. At least he can go in there and do that. I think he's, again, if I get one more, I think he's close
in the
to
box.
That. Yeah, right. I think if he gives me one more game with that, I'll kind of be at that point.
617-779-7937. KJ and Lyons starting your Sunday off here on WEEI. More Patriots talk next, but right now time to trend with Jacob Lassner.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah. What a way to start off your Sunday than with KJ and Lyons on WEEI. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're about a minute away from John Sarinides, New England Football Journal, talking some Patriots. Maybe we even give him a question or two for Elliot Wolf. Like, does he like his bacon to be like regular bacon or turkey bacon? I'm totally kidding. John, when you watch television shows or you're watching something on TV, do you find yourself like pulling out Google and a map when someone mentions someone? Do you do that?
So sometimes I more will Google like who someone is. Like, right. I'll be like, oh, wait, who's that actor? And then I'll, and I, yeah, I actually got to watch myself because sometimes I'll start doing that and then I'm not actually watching the show.
How was someone killed? It's like, they'd be like, they bring lines in the court, be like, sir, on a Sunday at 9 a.m., you were searching how to drown KJ.
Right. I'm like, no, it's from the show. It's from the show.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't trying to really kill him. So it's interesting. This is one of those Googleable shows because sometimes there'll be references and you say, what the hell is KJ talking about? And then you're like, you Google it. You're like, oh, that's what he means by Mae West being 89,000 years old. And you see a picture of Mae West. It's in black and white. It's from a long time ago. It makes sense. Can we sell that? Do we take that to the sales department? KJ and Lions, the most Googleable show as you listen.
Yes, because I believe Googleable is definitely a word. Yes, 100%. And one guy, KJ, who does know all his words and who does kill it all the time is John Serenides of the New England Football Journal, who joins us now. He's down in Foxborough before Patriots practice day. Of course, Ellie Wolf is going to talk to the media in about an hour or so. John, how are you today? And welcome into the program.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent.
Doing well. Let's just start off kind of with the question everybody wants to know, John, and that's Drake Mae. I mean, you and I talked after the game the other night. I kind of got your assessment, but for our audience that maybe had not heard from you, what was your assessment of Mae kind of Thursday night playing against the Eagles?
Well, I thought he did a really nice job, and I want to start off by saying that I thought Alex Van Pelt did a nice job of scripting plays that put him in a position where he can have success. If you've coached football, you know that one of the most important conversations you're going to have during the course of a week is with your quarterback and what they like. What are things that they want in the plan? What are things that they want to practice? What are things that they want to run in a game? And I thought you saw that on Thursday night in terms of the play calling with Van Pelt and what he did with Mae to put him in a position to succeed. I love the fact that they blended their passing game, three-step, five-step. They moved the pocket for him. I love the fact that they ran some empty. And then I thought that the cherry on the topping was when they ran the zone read with him and he pulled it and scored the four-yard touchdown run. So I think there was a lot to like there. I mean, statistically, he was 6 of 11 for 47 yards. He had four carries for 15 yards. But there were a lot of positives there. And I think now you've seen the tone of the conversation change a little bit, especially given how much Jacoby Brissett struggled. Should the Patriots be considering Drake Mae? I still think they need to do everything they can to start with Jacoby Brissett, at least start the year with him. But there's no question now, depending on what happens in this Washington preseason game next Sunday night, that if, let's say, both of them play and Mae outperforms Brissett again, well, now you have to really ask yourself, are the Patriots just better off, for lack of a better term, throwing him to the wolves, starting him, letting him grow into the job, and riding with him? I still think they should probably start with Brissett and see how long they can go with that. But there's no question, I thought that Drake Mae had a solid performance on Thursday night.
John, I want to get your thoughts on this Washington preseason game coming up. Do you think that Jerod Mayo may just go ahead and put Drake Mae out there to start the game to give him a chance with the ones in live action?
KJ, it sounds like he's going to play Brissett from what he's been saying the last couple of days after the game and Friday morning when he had a Zoom call with the media. It sounds like Brissett's going to play. So my guess is Brissett starts, probably plays a couple of series, and then I think you'll probably see Drake for four series, maybe five. Maybe he plays a little in the second half. But I do think he's going to play more than Brissett. But I think given the way that Brissett performed on Thursday night, I think they have to start him, and I think they have to play him in this game. They can't go into their Cincinnati preparation, even though that game is 2 weeks after, they can't go into that game thinking that they're on solid footing with their starting quarterback if it's Brissett based on the way he's performed. That they need to see more from him. He needs to lead a scoring drive. He needs to show more of a command of the offense. He needs to show that he's on the same page with his receiving corps. One of the things about Brissett in camp has been he has had his moments where he's looked really good, but then he's also had his moments where he hasn't looked as good and he's been inconsistent. So this is an important preseason game for him. They need to give him at least two series to see what he can do this preseason and to feel good about him being their starter. I mean, yeah, you can name him your starter, but I don't want to go into that Cincinnati game with him playing the way he has played this preseason. He needs to show more.
John, you've been a coach for many years. You've been a head coach as well. I was curious your assessment so far of Jerod Mayo. He's about, what, 8 months or so into his tenure as head coach, but 3 weeks into his first ever training camp. How do you think he's running things? Do you think things are where they need to be? What does he need to work on? Just kind of your overall assessment of Jerod Mayo.
I think he's done a good job. I think, look, when you're in your first year as a head coach, it's hard. It's hard because you're trying to figure out yourself as a coach, and you're trying to figure out how you want to lead your football team. It's a completely different approach than if you're a coordinator or if you're a position coach. You've got to figure out how to talk to players. It's a different type of conversation now. It's no longer strictly focused on your side of the ball or your position. You need to have broader conversations with players. It's also how you deal with people around you, your support staff, how you deal with the media. I think he's done a really good job in all of those areas. Now, I think the Judon situation is probably a negative in the way that was handled. And I think privately, if you ask Jerod, he would probably reflect and tell you maybe that day that Judon was out at practice, that could have been handled a little differently. But I think overall, he's done a pretty good job. Now, the other night, he did talk about how it was hard on him that he suffered his first loss as a head coach. You can't let a preseason game affect you like that. That would be if he cared what I think. My only advice, that would be like when I coached in a scrimmage saying, I lost my first game in a scrimmage. Like, let's pump the brakes. Right. You know, like, now if they lose to Cincinnati week one, say that. But I think at the end of the day, and that to me also shows a little youthful exuberance, if you will. But I think my advice to him would be yourself. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be ebbs and flows. You've got to navigate through the tough times. There's always going to be good times, but oftentimes, especially as a first-year head coach, there'll be more bad than good. It's how you come through those bad moments and how you get to the other side that really decides how long you're going to last in this business. And I think he's done a good job so far, but we're really not going to be able to assess the job he's done until we get into the regular season and see what he's like after 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. If things are going good, I think you'll see more of what you've seen. If things are going bad, I do think we're going to see another side of him, and I do think we need to see that side of him so that we can get a better idea of how he'll be as a head coach potentially.
We're having a great conversation with John Sarinides of New England Football Journal here on KJ and Lions. Mentioned Judon now gone, and obviously Judon was probably one of the last remaining leading voices in the locker room. John and I have discussed on the show, like, hey, if Judon is gone, does Mayo become the voice amongst the players, or does he expect, or do you think another player on the defensive side of the ball steps up as the next voice as part of the leadership crew on this team?
Yeah, KJ, honestly, I think you need your players to step up in this situation. Because if you want to have – now, remember, he is considered a player's coach. So you've got to empower your players to take more of a leadership role. The Juwan Bentleys, the Jelani Tavais, the Jabril Peppers, those guys have to take more of a leadership role now. They have to be front and center, both in the locker room and on the field, leading this group and leading this team. So for me, yes. I think when you lose a guy like Judon, who was arguably your best player, you're going to miss him on and off the field. But I think they have plenty of guys in that locker room. Being around those guys the last 3 years in particular, they have a lot of guys in that locker room that are more than capable of stepping up and being leaders and leading this defense and helping lead this football team. Jelani Tavai has always been a guy that's been outspoken. He's always told it like he sees it. Same thing with Jabril Peppers. I think they have the guys in the room that can step up and now be the new faces of this defense from a leadership standpoint and lead the way. I think they have plenty of those guys. I think it's going to be more about how do you replace Judon's production. Because when healthy, we know he's a 12 to 15 sack guy. He's proven he was that when he was here. It's how are you going to replace his production with Anthony Jennings, with Uche, with Keon White. Keon White has had a strong camp, strong preseason. But we need to see him do this through an entire season before we decide that he is the replacement for Matthew Judon. So I think that that's going to be more of a pressing issue for them at the, at this moment than who leads. I think they got plenty of guys in the room that can lead.
John, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about their offensive line. And it's been a problem for several years now. Is there anything in your eyes they can do with the current roster to fix it? Do they have to look outside the roster? I mean, what can they do to get this group to play a little bit more consistently, especially at tackle?
Well, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to keep mixing and matching combinations, which they did yesterday. And really, they haven't done that all of camp. They've done it at times where they've repped the younger guys with the first group, but they really focused on that in that walkthrough yesterday. And I suspect we'll see that again today. You're also going to have to look outside the organization, because right now what you have at left tackle in particular, I just don't think is enough. And Vardarian Lowe will give you everything he has. He's a high-effort guy, and I think he does well against certain types of pass rushers, but I also think he struggles mightily against guys that can get under his pads and are speed guys. So I do think they're going to need to look outside the organization. Unfortunately, I think we're living in a time now, gentlemen, where offensive linemen are becoming few and far in between, particularly tackles. Teams that have those guys, they're not letting them go. Even if that guy's their seventh or eighth guy in their offensive line rotation, they're going to hold on to him. So it's going to be hard to find an impact player, particularly at left tackle, on the waiver wire or even through a trade. So chances are they're going to have to run with what they have. But I do think either way you look at it, they're going to have the draft capital next spring. They're going to have the cap space. This has to become a priority. I know that this year was more about getting the quarterback and retooling the skill group, but they really have to prioritize the offensive line, specifically left tackle. They prioritize the other spots, but you need a franchise left tackle if you want Drake May to develop into what you think he could become.
John, I love that energy. I mean, John, can we have him bring his whistle next time the show? John Serenides, will you come back on the show again at another time? That was great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime. I mean, I enjoy – John and I have worked together for years. I love working with John. I mean, we do the post-game show live stream for our website together. So, love talking ball with you guys. And, yeah, next time I'll bring the whistle. And I'll leave
give me some up-downs, boys, up-downs.
All right, he is John.
Want to have me on, just give me the word and we'll make it happen.
He is John Serenides of the New England Football Journal. Hopefully next time he does not make us run any laps around the studio. I don't think it would end too well. John, always a pleasure. Have a great day for yourself and enjoy Patriots practice.
All right, guys, thank you for the time. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Hey, John, have you realized what we're developing here on KJ and Lions? Look, we got Tommy Freeze Pops. We got Serenides. Like, this sounds like we've got, like, our own capo of, like, football coverage. Like, it's got its personality on. So who's got Freeze Pops and Serenides?
I don't think anyone in the country.
Nobody. Like, this is, like, it's a personality taking upon itself. So people are like, oh, they're having Tommy Freeze Pops on. Or Coach Serenides is coming up there. Because he feels like he can look you right in your face. Son, life is about challenges. Drop down and give me 20.
Yeah. Just 20, 30, 40.
Well, no, yeah. Because, if it's after 20, you're not listening, right? Like, do what you need to do. Let's not be error repeaters, as they talk about with the team, to not be error repeaters. But he did mention on something that we did hit upon, John, is in this conversation with Elliot Wolf that's coming up shortly after 10 o'clock at the press conference, I do wonder if that's going to be brought up. Is the team actively looking outside for potential free agents to bring in to address glaring needs without saying offensive line?
And I think if you want to improve this offensive line, it's really you can sign Donovan Smith or you can try to figure it out in-house. I don't see there being a lot of other options. Like, I know the Patriots on the waiver wire, they're the third priority, so they could get whoever's released or put on waivers, but how many teams are going to release?
They don't release offensive linemen.
Exactly, like, yeah. Especially starting caliber, right? Like,
right.
Nobody's going to release a guy like that, and there's no trade to be had. I mean, who's going to trade you a good offensive lineman 3 weeks before the season?
Like, well, just even in the last draft, I think we're like 32 wide receivers taken and like 45 offensive linemen, right? So if that tells you how bad offensive linemen are needed, more offensive linemen were taken in the draft than were receivers just in this last draft. So it's interesting because we talk about all these skill players. We talk about, like, you need a wide receiver one. And look, we've always kind of been like, it doesn't matter how far the person runs down the field. If you get to two Mississippi and your quarterback is on the ground, it doesn't matter how fast they are. Everything is going to have to be a screen pass or out of the shotgun. So if you can't address that, and look, the NFL is just not littered with all these great, like, it's one thing to say, hey, you're a great team and you got a great receiving core. Usually the teams that you talk about are great, either have a mobile quarterback to differentiate some of their offensive line problems, or have an offensive line and can put almost any quarterback back there. I've told you I used to live in Kansas City, and that's when Trent Green became Trent Green, but he had, like, literally a Hall of Fame offensive line. Brian Waters, Willie Rofe, what's the other guy's name? Brian Waters,
who played New
Will
England
Shields. Right, Will Shields. Brian Waters told me one of the greatest stories involving.
Brian Waters showed up like the first day of the season and just played all year in 2011. I hope the Patriots could find a guy like that.
Right. So if you've got an offensive line where you've got five Hall of Famers, that's unheard of. Now you're just looking for one guy that can play you 16, 17 games and not get your quarterback laid out on the ground. That guy's going to make a lot of money. Like, do you go back to potentially, if you can't get that free agency and the left tackle in free agency or someone who's out there waiting? Or gets Willie, do you put in Wenyu back to the left side?
And that's the thing. Onwenu's never really played on the left side at all. And Okorafor's played, like, I think two games or less than that on the left side in his career. Caden Wallace never really played on the left side. He played 2,200 snaps at Penn State, all of them at right tackle, right? So
right. You
don't even have guys with experience. I mean, City So played part of the season at left tackle in college in 2018. I mean, that's 6 years ago.
But Wallace hasn't been taking as one thought he could.
And that's the thing. And I think they went into it hoping, hey, Okorafor or Wallace, one of those two guys is going to be the, we don't know which one, but one of them will. And unfortunately, neither one has been that guy. Now, I think of the two, Wallace has the most potential. But then again, now you have a rookie who doesn't have a lot of experience starting as your left tackle, right? That's maybe he can do it, but that's going to have its own level of growing pains over not just the first month of the year, but the entire year. But that's kind of where they're at. I mean, you look at this offensive line. Like, I'd love to see Laydon Robinson playing at guard and Mike Onwenu at right tackle. I think that would be great. Still doesn't solve your left tackle problem.
Right.
Like, so maybe you put Okorafor there. Maybe you put Wallace there. Either way, I mean, you don't really have a good solution, at least right now, there.
Well, you mentioned that none of these other guys on the right side have played on the left side, but guess what's happening on the left side? Nothing. So it's almost like, do you make an attempt with someone who at least has
I think it's a fair point.
Right, like top quality play from Inwenyu and move him back to the left side, because clearly you don't want this team to be so bad that you feel like, okay, this team maybe only wins four or five games again, though that's what people are wondering. That's the over-under is 4.5. That you've got to be that high in the draft looking for a left tackle, because there'll be a major disaster happens between now and when you get to that point. So it's like, do you find that potential, hey, if we can get better quality at left tackle from Inwenyu, find somebody to mix and match on the right side, maybe Wallace takes better to the right because that's all he's ever played, and maybe you're like, okay, this is what we can get from him on that right side, and at least the left side is better protected, it feels like you can then move the ball forward and then have a question next year. You say, okay, was Inwenyu good enough at left tackle last year that we don't have to go get a left tackle, but maybe we can shore up the line or get a star receiver, or you look at some other things where you don't have to say, wow, it was so bad, people got laid out on the ground, it was a massacre out there, and now we need a left tackle. So I think that's going to be that's the real next interesting play with this team. I think even more so than does May start on week one is, do they put somebody capable on the left side, and do we see signs of that within the next 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, and I think you look at where this offensive line is at. The crazy part is you look at the interior right now with David Andrews, City So, and, of course, the one who's there now, but even if it ends up being Laydon Robinson, you can feel kind of confident in that interior. It's
right.
Just you have this question not just at one tackle, but at both. And it's one thing to say, hey, we're worried about our right tackle, so we're going to keep a tight end in, or we're going to run two tight end sets, or we're going to chip with a running back. But when you are worried about both tackles, it's tough to really game plan around that unless you want to have
13 personnel.
Right, unless you want to have 8 guys in protected. But then the other side of that coin is, all right, you want to max protect with 8 guys in, including the quarterback, so seven guys protecting. Well, then you only have three guys running routes, and the Patriots' top three receivers, are any of them good enough that they're just going to dominate a defense on their own and make that work? Like, no. So they're in a tough spot there.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, to start your Sunday, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your text messages next at 37937. Still to come, just the Jag plus the Red Sox. Thank you so much for hanging out with KJ and Lyons.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah. KJ and Lyons on your Sunday, WEEI, the greatest 4 hours in America. Thank you so much for starting it here in the greatest town in America, Boston, USA. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 2 minutes away from Just the Jag. It probably one of the most controversial. You know, like, I used to work in rap radio, John. And true story, I had to let Puffy know that I wasn't the one he was looking for. Like, Puffy and, like, two guys were coming to beat me up. But that's the great thing about sports talk radio. You can do controversial bits, and, like, you don't have to worry about a rap crew coming to come get you because you've said something on the air.
Yeah, but there's some pro athletes that could beat both of us up at
Judon
the same
got
time.
A bit heated, right? You know, but why lose that money? Like, there hasn't really been. I'm trying to think who
why
was the
you
last
just spend
place.
This whole segment telling that Diddy story.
I'll just tell it briefly, and then we'll get to the text line, okay? So that, you know, maybe there should be like a story time sounder on this show. It's kind of like, so a coworker of mine got on the air, and this is when the rumors about Puffy first came about. And so on the air, the guy said, Puffy, he asked him on the air, do you puff or do you like to get puffed? So Puffy didn't take too kindly to that. So when the concert comes to said town, I'm working at the sister station. Right, there you go. So when said concert comes to town with Puffy, you know, my station's vehicle's there, the station with the guy who said it's vehicle is there, but he's not at the concert, the guy who said it. So out of the blue, this is like 20 minutes before like the opener's supposed to go on the stage. Clearly Puffy's not the opener. Puffy and two dudes like come over to the van. And like Puffy has this look through you. You know what a host is? Have you ever heard? It seems like someone's held by a host.
Yep.
Like they just have the ghost look to them. So here he comes with this ghost look to him with two other guys. He's like, yeah, you the jokester that had something to say on the air. I said, I know who you're talking about. I am not that guy. He's not here. He looks at me. Then like he comes out of the host look and then looks at me. And then they just walk away.
Interesting.
It was
just walked away like nothing.
Yeah, 80% setup, 20% delivery on that story, right? Like, you were expecting to hear, and then suddenly Biggie jumped out and said, oh, it punched KJ in the belly. No, I'm kidding.
I was hoping you'd say you'd beat him up or something.
No, because that's slander and that's a lie. I don't lie on this show.
No, I was
hoping
that was kind of what happened. That would have been a...
Oh, you would have loved to have seen that, right?
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
37937.
Smart move by that other guy not going to the concert, I guess.
Yeah, of course. He knew what was going to happen.
All right, I've got, do we have a backup center? That snap to Bailey Zappe was horrific.
Oh, yeah.
So
one, yeah, go ahead.
Can I give a technical but also a practical answer? Because they're two different things.
Yes,
technically,
Coach Lyons.
Technically, they have a backup center in Nick Leverett, but practically, they don't because Nick Leverett's only been playing center for 2 months, and he was part of another botched snap to Drake May early. That Drake May fumbled snap, I think, is partly on May, but also partly on Nick Leverett. So, if there's one guy whose health you need to pray for if you live in New England, it's David Andrews this year. He gets hurt, they are in legit big-time trouble up front, more so than they already are. So technically, yes, they do, but practically, no, they don't.
That would be really bad if you say, wow, New England Patriots don't have someone who can snap the ball. Like,
yeah,
is
not
that,
ideal.
Is that when you like hire AI? Is that when you look into the potential of AI? Being on the left tackle for them and a center for the Patriots. Next text, 37937.
All right, I've got, is there any platoon in the USFL, probably in regards to quarterbacks?
I don't know if this is a platoon situation, I think, for the Patriots in terms of the quarterback. I don't think you go with like a relief type pitcher. Like what Gerard Mayo did with the 2 minutes left in the game was still in the balance and bringing Bailey Zappe in to try and win the drive. I think that kind of goes to, and thank you so much for John Serenides, who was on earlier, talking about Gerard Mayo like trying to win the game. I don't think you're going to have a platoon situation with the situation. I think once one is done, it's the other one's job.
All right, so one more text. Let's see. I've said since the schedule came out that they should wait till the London game or the week after his first game, and everyone said I was dumb. What's your take on that?
Wait, you're not dumb because John, wasn't I saying that at one point?
You said London originally. My original thought was week 9, which is right after Halloween, because you go to Tennessee, which I think is a very winnable game. Then you go to Chicago. So you have two kind of road games. Let May get his feet wet before coming home in mid-November to play the Rams. I love that spot for him. I think at the very least, because what's London, week 7? So, I mean,
Something like that.
So I would say, like, at this point, I still would not play him at all in September, especially with that schedule. But you could maybe talk me into week 5 against Miami that first Sunday in October, or maybe the London game. I mean, the London game's tricky, though, KJ, because it's, in one way, it's a soft landing because you're playing away. But on the other, it's a nationally televised game that everyone is watching at 9:30 in the morning on the East Coast. So it's like it's an easy landing spot in some ways, but in some ways it's not an easy landing spot, especially if he doesn't play well.
All right, still to come on the KJ and Lyons show. Keywords: Duran, Nostradamus, Casas, Kaepernick. But now it's time for...
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag. Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field.
He doesn't suck.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
All right, John, I'm going to look across the landscape of quarterbacks who are in question. We're not going to go through every team. Are they just a Jag? Let's start in Arizona. This is where Marvin Harrison Jr. is. Kyler Murray coming back for a full season. Just a Jag?
Yeah, I think he's just a Jag. I mean, they had to put into his contract that he doesn't play too many video games and make sure he studies for game planning instead. I got to say, that's a Jag.
All right. Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young looking like a 10th grader going back to school, kind of small. This is a turnaround season for him. Andy Dalton is his backup. Is he just the guy?
So I actually think he's going to be above just a guy this year. I know he was bad last year, but I have faith in Bryce Young. I think he's going to be a lot better this year than he was last year.
All right, so I'm with you. I'm going to give him another year. Let's go to Cleveland, where Deshaun Watson, I think this is the turnaround year he's got to do it. Jameis Winston is his backup. Deshaun Watson, just a guy?
He's above just a guy, but it's getting kind of close, KJ. Oh, like one more year like last year, and we're going to be talking about him as a Jag next year.
Oh, my God. Let's just go through the whole Denver Broncos quarterback situation. Stidham, Zach Wilson, Bo Nix. Are they all Jags?
They are the CBS series Jag reincarnate, KJ. That's what they are. Just a bunch of Jags.
Just a guy.
Three Jags. That's incredible. All right. Let's go down to Indianapolis, where this is an interesting situation where you've got Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco's his backup. Anthony Richardson, Jag material?
I think he is right now because of the injury concerns.
Just a guy.
I mean, I love the physical tools, but we are talking about a guy whose completion percentages last year in Florida was 50%, and he has injury issues. He's got to prove something to me before I put him above Jag.
You got an interesting situation with the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence got the big money deal that's setting the number for all these other people. Mac Jones has been impressive in preseason, like we haven't seen that before. And C.J. Beathard. Trevor Lawrence, just the guy?
He might play for the Jags, but he is not a Jag. He is above that. Trevor Lawrence is legit. He's really good.
All right, Vegas. The Raiders are in trouble. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell. Do we have two Jags?
We do, and I think they're going to realize maybe it wasn't all Josh McDaniels' fault last year.
Just a guy.
Give me another one for Aiden O'Connell, too.
Just a guy.
All right, there's an interesting situation going on in with the Rams, right? Matthew Stafford is still there, but you got Jimmy Garoppolo and Stetson Bennett behind him. Is Stafford still above a Jag?
Yeah, I think he is. I thought he actually played pretty well last year. I think he's going to continue to do so. I mean, they have good enough with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. I mean, Stafford's going to be above a Jag.
All right, Minnesota. J.J. McCartney went down. They're down to Sam Darnold. Do we need to even ask any further?
I'm not trying to be unkind here, KJ. He's below a Jag. Okay. He's been demoted.
All right. Yeah, it's almost like he gets the job because the guy in front of him got fired on his day off.
Yeah.
Okay, so here in New England, Jacoby Brissett is listed as the one, Drake May, Bailey Zappe, Joe Milton, the four. Are we talking three Jags so far?
I think we're talking two Jags in Brissett with, and then Milton Zappe, whoever's third. I think May is going to be more than a Jag, and I think he show. It's tough to put him in that category because he hasn't really had a chance to show himself in a regular season game.
Now I get one for Brissett there. And Bailey Zappe, too. They two Jags there. Look, if you said last week, I would have still said Drake May is just the guy. I think this week changed everything. Then one of the most interesting and embarrassing situations we saw is with the New York Giants. Daniel Jones throws two picks.
Just a guy.
Thank you. I don't even have to get it out of my mouth. Is that now going to be one of the worst disasters in recent football memory?
So, KJ, he is something a little bit different. He is a J-A-R-G, which is just a rich guy. That's all he is. He got that big extension, but he's just a guy as a football player.
Pittsburgh. I saw the game last night because the Red Sox were in rain delay. Russell Wilson listed as your first string, Justin Fields as your second string. Do we have two Jags for Pittsburgh right now?
Yeah, I think we do. I don't really have any confidence in Russell Wilson. And Justin Fields, maybe he can get better, but I just don't think he's kind of fixed any of his issues yet.
And the final, I think, triple Jag is in Tennessee with Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, and Malik Willis. Do we have three star Jags here?
Oh, we certainly do.
Just a guy.
And there's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. It's KJ and Lines. The second hour next here on WEEI. We talk Red Sox, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Good Sunday to you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
Yeah. KJ and Lions on your Sunday, WEEI, the greatest 4 hours in America. Thank you so much for starting it here in the greatest town in America, Boston, USA. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 2 minutes away from Just the Jag. probably one of the most controversial. You know, like, I used to work in rap radio, John. And true story, I had to let Puffy know that I wasn't the one he was looking for. Like, Puffy and, like, two guys were coming to beat me up. But that's the great thing about sports talk radio. You can do controversial bits, and, like, you don't have to worry about a rap crew coming to come get you because you've said something on the air.
Yeah, but there's some pro athletes that could beat both of us up at
Judon
the same time.
Judon got a bit heated, right? You know, yeah, you could. But why lose that money? Like, there hasn't really been. I'm trying to think who
why
was the
you
last
just spend
place?
This whole segment telling that Diddy story.
I'll just tell it briefly, and then we'll get to the text line, okay? So that, you know, maybe there should be like a story time sounder on this show. It's kind of like, so a coworker of mine got on the air, and this is when the rumors about Puffy first came about. And so on the air, the guy said, Puffy, he asked him on the air, do you puff or do you like to get puffed? So Puffy didn't take too kindly to that. So when the concert comes to said town, I'm working at the sister station. Right, there you go. So when said concert comes to town with Puffy, you know, my station's vehicle's there, the station with the guy who said it's vehicle is there, but he's not at the concert, the guy who said it. So out of the blue, this is like 20 minutes before like the opener's supposed to go on the stage. Clearly Puffy's not the opener. Puffy and two dudes like come over to the van. And like Puffy has this look through you. You know what a host is? Have you ever heard? It seems like someone's held by a host.
Yep.
Like they just have the ghost look to them. So here he comes with this ghost look to him with two other guys. He's like, yeah, you the jokester that had something to say on the air. I said, I know who you're talking about. I am not that guy. He's not here. He looks at me. Then like he comes out of the host look and then looks at me. And then they just walk away.
Interesting.
It was
walked away like nothing.
Yeah, 80% setup, 20% delivery on that story, right? Like, you were expecting to hear, and then suddenly Biggie jumped out and said, oh, it punched KJ in the belly. No, I'm kidding.
I was hoping you'd say you'd beat him up or something.
No, because that's slander and that's a lie. I don't lie on this show.
No, I was
hoping
that was kind of what happened. That would have been a...
Oh, you would have loved to have seen that, right?
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
37937.
Smart move by that other guy not going to the concert, I guess.
Yeah, of course. He knew what was going to happen.
All right, I've got, do we have a backup center? That snap to Bailey Zappe was horrific.
Oh, yeah.
So
one, yeah, go ahead.
Can I give a technical but also a practical answer? Because they're two different things.
Yes,
technically,
Coach Lyons.
Technically, they have a backup center in Nick Leverett, but practically, they don't because Nick Leverett's only been playing center for 2 months, and he was part of another botched snap to Drake May early. That Drake May fumbled snap, I think, is partly on May, but also partly on Nick Leverett. So, if there's one guy whose health you need to pray for if you live in New England, it's David Andrews this year. He gets hurt, they are in legit big-time trouble up front, more so than they already are. So technically, yes, they do, but practically, no, they don't.
That would be really bad if you say, wow, New England Patriots don't have someone who can snap the ball. Like,
yeah,
is
not
that,
ideal.
Is that when you like hire AI? Is that when you look into the potential of AI? Being on the left tackle for them and a center for the Patriots. Next text, 37937.
All right, I've got, is there any platoon in the USFL, probably in regards to quarterbacks?
I don't know if this is a platoon situation, I think, for the Patriots in terms of the quarterback. I don't think you go with like a relief type pitcher. Like what Gerard Mayo did with the 2 minutes left in the game was still in the balance and bringing Bailey Zappe in to try and win the drive. I think that kind of goes to, and thank you so much for John Serenides, who was on earlier, talking about Gerard Mayo like trying to win the game. I don't think you're going to have a platoon situation with the situation. I think once one is done, it's the other one's job.
All right, so one more text. Let's see. I've said since the schedule came out that they should wait till the London game or the week after his first game, and everyone said I was dumb. What's your take on that?
Wait, you're not dumb because John, wasn't I saying that at one point?
You said London originally. My original thought was week 9, which is right after Halloween, because you go to Tennessee, which I think is a very winnable game. Then you go to Chicago. So you have two kind of road games. Let May get his feet wet before coming home in mid-November to play the Rams. I love that spot for him. I think at the very least, because what's London, week 7? So, I mean,
Yeah,
so I would say, like, at this point, I still would not play him at all in September, especially with that schedule. But you could maybe talk me into week 5 against Miami that first Sunday in October, or maybe the London game. I mean, the London game's tricky, though, KJ, because it's, in one way, it's a soft landing because you're playing away. But on the other, it's a nationally televised game that everyone is watching at 9:30 in the morning on the East Coast. So it's like it's an easy landing spot in some ways, but in some ways it's not an easy landing spot, especially if he doesn't play well.
All right, still to come on the KJ and Lyons show. Keywords: Duran, Nostradamus, Casas, Kaepernick. But now it's time for...
I'm sorry that I said you were a Jag. Just a guy.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Doesn't stand out on the field.
He doesn't suck.
Oh, he's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. Just a guy out on the field.
All right, John, I'm going to look across the landscape of quarterbacks who are in question. We're not going to go through every team. Are they just a Jag? Let's start in Arizona. This is where Marvin Harrison Jr. is. Kyler Murray coming back for a full season. Just a Jag?
Yeah, I think he's just a Jag. I mean, they had to put into his contract that he doesn't play too many video games and make sure he studies for game planning instead. I got to say, that's a Jag.
All right. Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young looking like a 10th grader going back to school, kind of small. This is a turnaround season for him. Andy Dalton is his backup. Is he just the guy?
So I actually think he's going to be above just a guy this year. I know he was bad last year, but I have faith in Bryce Young. I think he's going to be a lot better this year than he was last year.
All right, so I'm with you. I'm going to give him another year. Let's go to Cleveland, where Deshaun Watson, I think this is the turnaround year. He's got to do it. Jameis Winston is his backup. Deshaun Watson, just a guy?
He's above just a guy, but it's getting kind of close, KJ. Oh, like one more year like last year, and we're going to be talking about him as a Jag next year.
Oh, my God. Let's just go through the whole Denver Broncos quarterback situation. Stidham, Zach Wilson, Bo Nix. Are they all Jags?
They are the CBS series Jag reincarnate, KJ. That's what they are. Just a bunch of Jags.
Just a guy.
Three Jags. That's incredible. All right. Let's go down to Indianapolis, where this is an interesting situation where you've got Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco's his backup. Anthony Richardson, Jag material?
I think he is right now because of the injury concerns.
Just a guy.
I mean, I love the physical tools, but we are talking about a guy whose completion percentages last year in Florida was 50%, and he has injury issues. He's got to prove something to me before I put him above Jag.
You got an interesting situation with the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence got the big money deal that's setting the number for all these other people. Mac Jones has been impressive in preseason, like we haven't seen that before. And C.J. Beathard. Trevor Lawrence, just the guy?
He might play for the Jags, but he is not a Jag. He is above that. Trevor Lawrence is legit. He's really good.
All right, Vegas. The Raiders are in trouble. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell. Do we have two Jags?
We do, and I think they're going to realize maybe it wasn't all Josh McDaniels' fault last year.
Just a guy.
Give me another one for Aiden O'Connell, too.
Just a guy.
All right, there's an interesting situation going on in with the Rams, right? Matthew Stafford is still there, but you got Jimmy Garoppolo and Stetson Bennett behind him. Is Stafford still above a Jag?
Yeah, I think he is. I thought he actually played pretty well last year. I think he's going to continue to do so. I mean, they have good enough with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. I mean, Stafford's going to be above a Jag.
All right, Minnesota. J.J. McCartney went down. They're down to Sam Darnold. Do we need to even ask any further?
I'm not trying to be unkind here, KJ. He's below a Jag, okay? He's been demoted.
All right. Yeah, it's almost like he gets the job because the guy in front of him got fired on his day off.
Yeah.
Okay, so here in New England, Jacoby Brissett is listed as the one, Drake May, Bailey Zappe, Joe Milton, the four. Are we talking three Jags so far?
I think we're talking two Jags in Brissett and then Milton Zappe, whoever's third. I think May is going to be more than a Jag, and I think it's tough to put him in that category because he hasn't really had a chance to show himself in a regular season game.
Now I get one for Brissett there. And Bailey Zappe, too. They two Jags there. Look, if you said last week, I would have still said Drake May is just a guy. I think this week changed everything. Then one of the most interesting and embarrassing situations we saw is with the New York Giants. Daniel Jones throws two picks.
Just a guy.
Thank you. I don't even have to get it out of my mouth. Is that now going to be one of the worst disasters in recent football memory?
So, KJ, he is something a little bit different. He is a J-A-R-G, which is just a rich guy. That's all he is. He got that big extension, but he's just a guy who's a football player.
Pittsburgh. I saw the game last night because the Red Sox were in rain delay. Russell Wilson listed as your first string, Justin Fields as your second string. Do we have two Jags for Pittsburgh right now?
Yeah, I think we do. I don't really have any confidence in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Maybe he can get better, but I just don't think he's kind of fixed any of his issues yet.
And the final, I think, triple Jag is in Tennessee with Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, and Malik Willis. Do we have three star Jags here?
Oh, we certainly do.
Just a guy.
And there's just a Jag. Not great, not bad. It's KJ and Lines. The second hour next here on WEEI. We talk Red Sox, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Good Sunday to you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.